Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're here with us today to start this week with an interesting article. You know, this article says entertainment, but I don't know if it's entertainment. It looks more like technology to me. Let's see who's with us today in the studio to discuss the article. I'm your teacher, Doris, and then...
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell. It's great to be here.
Campbell, do you think this is really entertainment or is it technology?
I think it's a combination of both. You know,
both.
Technology is really becoming a huge part of the entertainment industry now.
That's true. And then we have...
Hi, everyone. I'm Albert. Excited to be here.
Albert, are you interested in video streaming and things like that?
Oh, definitely. I feel like this is a good way how the industry is changing. It shows where it's going, and I feel like it makes it cheaper and more convenient for the consumer.
That's true. And, you know, we have someone else with us in the studio today. The very first time they've been on Advance. In fact, I think that this young man graduated from university and studied things like this. Introduce him. Who is that?
Hello. Well, we have our friend Brendan here today. Brendan, say hi.
Hello there, everyone.
Brendan, what school did you graduate from?
I graduated from Central Connecticut State University with a degree in media production. So
oh, boy, media production.
Well,
sounds like,
well,
did you
person.
Talk about video streaming in school?
A little bit. Most of the video streaming I have studied, I did on my own time.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of school classes are more in the traditional side of video production, so studios and major big cinema.
Well, you know, one thing about what you learn in school, it's good a basis to get started, but most of your studying, I think, you do on your own, either during the time you're in school or after school.
Mm-hmm.
I think I learned more after school than during school. Did you, Campbell?
Yeah, definitely. And since the world is changing so quickly, a lot of the things that you're learning in school can't keep up with how the world is changing.
That's true. You know, this is why in our title today on page 30, it says here that Hollywood studios embrace just means that they what?
They start accepting it and
accepting
they're using it more.
Okay. They accept video streaming, and in technology and show business both, it's adapt or die. That's very strong language.
That's right. Technology and show business adapt or die. When we talk about adapting, it's talking about, you know, changing and making yourself current, or you are going to become obsolete. You're going to die out.
So you could say to succeed or to fail, couldn't
yes.
you? You will succeed or fail. And I think the same way with all kinds of technology, you either keep up or you get so far behind, you get lost. What
That's
do you
right.
think?
Yeah, because you don't want to really be outdated in today's times.
Well, not only outdated, if you don't keep up, pretty soon you can't even use things anymore because
mm-hmm.
they don't work anymore. You have to keep upgrading. Do you find that true, Brendan?
Yes, I do. However, I also noticed that a lot of the technology becomes cheaper. So people who might not have as much of a budget can start competing with studios that do have a budget.
Oh,
and that's why internet streaming has become so popular, because now the market is flooded with a bunch of smaller entities
mm-hmm.
who are trying to make their way.
Right, that's true. In fact, video streaming itself, you know, I kind of had to look that up to be sure that I knew exactly what it was. What does it say video streaming is when we looked it up, Campbell?
Well, streaming video is content sent in compressed form over the internet and displayed by the viewer in real time, which just means that it's not, you don't have to download it before you watch it. You can watch it as it's getting sent into your computer or onto
okay.
your cell phone.
Well, you know, before, and sometimes you would get something you wanted to see, but first you have to download it. It takes a long time to wait,
right.
and then you can watch it.
That's right.
But nobody has time or the patience to do that,
yeah.
do they?
Yeah, so if you think about when you're seeing the video on YouTube or on Facebook, you know, it's downloading as you're watching it.
Okay, so you don't have to download it first and then watch it. Because
mm-hmm.
we would probably not watch it.
Exactly.
We have to do that very often. Isn't that true?
Yes, that is very true.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we call this. And, you know, when you compress something, then you put it in a tighter form, like you can compress a lot of things and make it one smaller thing and then open it up when you use it,
right? That's right.
So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Well, we have to start with the studios that they're going to use. We're talking about Hollywood studios. And so let's take our lesson on page 30 and let's read the very first column today.
Hollywood studios embrace video streaming. In technology and show business, it's adapt or die. For nearly 100 years, the Sunset Bronson Studios in Hollywood has carved out a place at the technological forefront of show business. In 1927, brothers Sam and Jack Warner employed the Vitaphone system to produce the first talkie, The Jazz Singer. In 1947, KTLA used its lots to become the first commercial television station to broadcast west of the Mississippi. The studio's latest update, though, has more to do with connectivity than TV or filmmaking. The makeover includes speedy fiber optic internet and a 14-story office tower soon to be decked out with a control room for ultra-high-resolution filming, where Hollywood's hottest new tenant, Netflix, will put the finishing touches on its original programming.
Well, it's been 100 years, even more, that the Bronson Studios in Hollywood. Now, you say Bronson Studios, and everybody says, what? I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. But you say Warner Brothers, do they know?
Yes, Warner Brothers is a very big name in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. The Sunset Bronson Studios in Hollywood was the site of the old Warner Brothers studio.
So Warner Brothers, that's all, you see this on a lot of movies, you see the WB, Warner Brothers, that's very, very famous, isn't it?
It is. I mean, like, they have been pioneers, as mentioned in the article, with the Vitaphone system bringing sound to films. You know, I need to remind our audience that there was a time when films were silent. And, in fact, the only way to hear sound was to have a live band playing alongside the movie.
Well, that's true. And, you know, these studios said that they've carved out a place. Means that it wasn't easy.
That's right.
They had to make their own way, didn't they?
Yeah, they worked hard and they made a place for themselves in the technological forefront of show business. So they were always the first to do a lot of things.
That's true. Way back in 1927, that's a long time ago. And they used a system called the Vitaphone system. I guess most of us have not heard about that. But it was just a system that could record what? Sound and music, right?
Yeah. As Albert was saying earlier, there was a time when movies were silent. You know, you saw the actors moving on the screen, but you didn't actually hear any sound. This was the first time that they were able to combine pictures with sound together.
It must have been pretty exciting. Instead of just seeing the people acting, to hear them on the screen, I'm sure that caused a lot of excitement, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, everybody would say, wow, look at that.
So we have the term talkie here. So the talkie is what they used to call movies because this was the first time, as we said, that you could see the actors and hear them talking on the screen. So it was a talking movie, so a talkie.
Right. That would be kind of no fun to go to a movie and no talking, right?
I mean, if our audience wants to, they can go on YouTube and check out silent films. What happens is they show a picture of actors acting something out, and the next slide would be captions or dialogue.
Right, the
dialogue.
Words would be written.
You'd have to read it.
Yeah.
And not only that, when silent movies at one point were very groundbreaking in their own way, I remember a story from my class where the very first silent movie was of a train, and it was a test to see if they could record moving pictures, and the train was moving down the track toward the camera. When they showed this in the theater, everybody in the theater suddenly stood up and ran out because they didn't know what this was, and they actually thought a train was coming toward them, and they were going to crash through into the theater.
Wow.
Well, that was very different, you know.
Yeah.
When you think about when they first had airplanes, and nobody thought that people could sit on something and go in the air.
That's right.
Like my grandfather and great-grandfather, right. No, people can't do that.
Right. Yeah. So this is goes again to the idea of adapting or dying, right? The world is changing, and
that's
you have
true.
To keep up.
But anyway, they have taken over that site. That's a very famous place. And in 1947, this group, this Bronx sister, they used this lot to make the first commercial television station in the West. Now, that was 1947. Mm-hmm. Television didn't come to Taiwan and to Asia until around 1962.
Hmm.
But in 47, finally got over to the West.
That's
so
right.
Things just have to develop gradually, don't
yes,
they?
Yes. So we're learning a little bit about the history of the Sunset Bronson Studios. So they were originally in the home of Warner Brothers Studios. Then in 1947, they became a television station. But now we have some new updates to this building.
So the studio's latest update, it says, it's not so much filming, but it's connectivity. We hear a lot about connecting. So what are we trying to connect here?
We're trying to connect everyone around the globe with...
Well, TV or filmmaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
You connect all of these things together. It's not just one thing, but
right.
putting them together. That's a multimedia
right.
thing, isn't it? Did you learn a lot about that in school, connectivity?
Sort of. We mostly were trying to figure out how to put all of the different elements that are required in a film together. So sound and video and lighting and any visual effects you want to add in. And then you have to take all of that stuff and you have to bring it to the editing area and then have put it together.
So that's connectivity, isn't it?
Yeah, that's yeah. probably what they mean when mm-hmm. they're talking about connectivity mm-hmm. is having all of the stuff you need in one place, rather than having it be all
different
over
places.
The place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I think the latest update is more, it's not so much about how they make the film or how they make the TV, but how they deliver it to people, right?
Right.
That connectivity of connecting people to the internet and connecting them
that's
to
true.
This, the video that they're watching.
Yeah, and they're using speedy fiber optics. Fiber optics uses laser and glass to deliver information in forms of light and electronic signals.
Fiber optics is another thing. You should know the word. And I remember that where we are right now in the studio here a long time ago, we didn't have fiber optic cables.
Mm-hmm.
We had telephone cables.
Right.
And everything was slower.
Right. I remember the days of dial-up, right?
Yeah, you had to dial up and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with fiber optics, they send all this information by light through this kind of new technology. And they have a network that they put in this fiber optic thing so you don't have to go through those old cables that
mm-hmm.
can be destroyed or wear out. So fiber optics is much, much faster. In fact, it says, I forget how fast it is, but, you know, they replaced a lot of the regular phone lines with fiber optic, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, fiber optics has come a long way. In 1988, it was 6 megabytes, which is about the file size of one MP3 song. And today, it's 160 terabytes. One terabyte is 1 million megabytes, so it's really fast.
That's really, really what we need, too, because we don't want things to come in slowly and can't see them.
Right, and if you remember the early days of the Internet, you have to sit there and wait to get onto the Internet, then you have to sit and wait for all that information to get onto your computer, but now it's pretty much instant.
Mm-hmm. That's the fiber optics you can thank for some of that, that's
mm-hmm.
right. So this makeover of the studio, they have the very speedy fiber optic Internet. And they have a great big 14-story office tower that they're going to soon have it decked out or fixed up with a control room. What about the control room? What's that going to be like?
Well, it's going to have a control room is where they control all the cameras and all the different things and where they edit all the different videos. And the control room will have ultra-high-resolution filming, where Hollywood's hottest new tenant, Netflix, will be putting the finishing touches on its original programming.
I suppose most people have heard of Netflix. What is Netflix?
Well, it's a website where people can watch videos. And in the past,
movies, right?
Yeah, they used to, you know, they would only provide movies and shows that other people produce, but now they're kind of starting to produce their own content.
Right. I really like this point that Netflix is driving. They used to be just like a highway structure, giving you content, delivering to it. Now they're making the content themselves, so they don't have to depend on other studios, and they know what the audience likes to view or whatnot, and they can give you the content as well.
Right.
Yeah, Netflix used to be what we call a distribution service, which means they distribute videos and movies. This meant that they never really created stuff for themselves until relatively recently with their first show, I believe, is called House of Cards. And that was a big deal at the time because that would be similar to your local video store deciding, hey, I'm going to make a movie now. And that was just not really heard of. Of course, Netflix was groundbreaking in the first place because they were doing, they were being a distribution service that was purely digital.
Right.
You didn't, or had DVDs that you could order.
Yeah, it used to be you'd have to go to the DVD store, rent a DVD, bring it home, watch it on their television. But now with Netflix, they put everything on the internet, so you could just download it onto your computer and watch it right
on your computer. You have to pay for that?
Yes.
I think you do.
It's got a subscription fee.
A monthly subscription fee.
So now it says that they're going to put the finishing touches on what they make themselves. They're making original programming, so they're becoming producers of material instead of distributors, right?
That's right,
exactly.
Okay, it says something about Netflix down here. What does it say about Netflix in that little bar down about the new player in town? Do you want to read that?
Well, it says, the new player in town. For Netflix, the chance to fit as many as 1,000 employees in an office next door to sound stages proved irresistible. Building an equivalent property from scratch was a non-starter. It would have taken too long even if Netflix could find the available real estate.
So Netflix had some reason to use this because they're right next door to places where they can use other facilities. So that's the connectivity too, isn't it? They can be close to the places where they can produce as well as send it out. Okay, well, that's a good start. Let's take the next paragraph in the second column down through line 13.
Speed is paramount in the streaming business, and the sooner that Netflix can wrap up its productions, the sooner its 75 million subscribers can begin binge-watching. Netflix's choice of the former Warner Brothers studio as the home of its LA headquarters may be the biggest symbol of digital media muscling into the entertainment capital, but it also highlights how the region's smaller, independently owned studio lots are bending to a burgeoning segment of the industry, looking to make faster and sometimes cheaper productions.
So when we say speed is paramount, we mean speed is one of the most important things in the streaming business. Isn't that true?
Well, yeah, because people are watching it on their computers and they want that instant access. So it's really important for them to be able to access these videos smoothly and quickly and instantly.
Right, and they're also talking about, in this context, they want to, hey, we want to make and deliver these awesome shows to you and to our customers as soon as possible. And, you know, earlier we mentioned how Netflix has been groundbreaking in some senses, and I really like how they started the binge-watching craze.
Binge-watching means no end, just one right after another.
That's
I don't think that's good for people, though.
Well,
get too hung up in it.
If people can recall, like a few years ago, we would watch a show and you would have to wait a week. They'll tease it out, they'll add a lot of commercials. And Netflix was like, you know what? You know, it's okay. We'll let you have the whole season in one day. And if you want, you can sit on your couch and watch 13 episodes, which is like 13 plus hours.
Right.
That's terrible. Yeah. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember they made some of these mysteries a whole series at one time, and you could watch one right after another or something. So for a long weekend or a holiday, you might watch a whole bunch of them.
But right.
I don't think it's good to watch too many of those.
Yeah.
We need to get out and exercise more.
That's
what do you
true.
Think?
Yeah.
Not too much.
Well, I think that it's... Yeah, I think we do need to get out and exercise, but it's interesting because a little point on the whole binge-watching, Netflix really changed television because you can binge-watch. at least in America, I don't know how it is in other countries.
I think people do it here, I don't, yeah.
But at least in America, television is actually now on the decline because all the shows that people want to watch, they can access them digitally over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need to wait. They just go without their show for a season and then watch everything all at once.
Well, but if they don't keep making the shows on television, they won't have anything to watch, so they have to do both. They have to produce, too, don't they?
That's right.
That's very important. So, but Netflix, they chose the Warner Brothers studio as their home in L.A. I think they also are in New Jersey or New York, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah, they started in New York.
Yeah, right. But that might be their biggest symbol of the digital media muscling into the entertainment world. Now, digital media, we know what that is. But what does it mean to muscle into something?
Oh, I really like this choice of words. It gives me like a good imagery. To muscle your way into something is to force your way into
pushing.
Something. Yeah, like I want to get into that club, and you're going to push past the doorman. It's like I'm going to muscle my way in.
Okay. And it also shows something else. It highlights something.
Yeah, it also highlights how the region's smaller, independently owned studio lots are bending to a burgeoning segment of the industry looking to make faster and sometimes cheaper productions. So all that just means that these studios are now opening their doors and allowing these newer companies to come in.
Okay, so there are a lot of studios that are not the regular big ones, but they are independent studios, smaller studios. And a lot of these you can find all, if you just put it in on Google, you'll see how many studios there are. But they are now saying, okay, not just for us, we're going to bend to letting other people, we will wrong time and we'll let them come in. Because this is a big, growing, burgeoning segment of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing, so let's not miss out. So the little studios are saying, okay, let's get in on it and
right.
take some of these people in,
yeah.
right?
It makes sense because, I mean, you think about how with the invention of the smartphone, everyone is now taking their entertainment everywhere they go, right? So you're sitting on the bus, you're sitting on the MRT, and you're watching TV right on your phone.
So they want to make things faster and even cheaper productions. Instead of waiting for the big Hollywood production that costs millions,
that's right.
There's always been these movies that are kind of smaller, low movies
budget.
That are very low-budget movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we call them indie movies. Indie is just short for independent.
Oh, okay.
So they are separate from these mega corporate production studios.
And some of those are pretty good, too, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they can be.
They can be. Sometimes they're not, you know, they don't have all the professional equipment and actors in them, but they're good. Well, it's not the only game going on in town, not the only situation in Hollywood. Let's read the last section for today's lesson.
Not the only game in town. Across the street on Sunset Boulevard is Siren Studios, which entered a 2-year lease to house BuzzFeed Motion Pictures, the video arm of the viral hit makers. And the Culver Studios, which was opened in 1918, and where Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind, and E.T. the Extraterrestrial were filmed, now counts Amazon and Netflix among its customers. Even Facebook was said to be calling around for studio space before settling on its new 35,000-square-foot digs. The upswing in production comes as Americans are expected to double their daily digital video consumption compared with 4 years ago to 1 hour and 8 minutes, according to eMarketer.
So we talked about studios going to the Sunset Boulevard area, and that's been where Capitol Records and all of these things have been for years.
Mm-hmm.
We went there years ago to get our records pressed, so it's a very famous place. And there's one called Siren Studios. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we were talking about the Sunset Bronson Studios. Now we're going across the street to the Siren Studios, and they entered a 2-year lease to house BuzzFeed Motion Pictures, which is the video arm of the viral hit makers.
Now, viral just means that everybody watches. When it goes viral, it just goes wild, you could
That's
say, right?
Yeah, so some of you might have watched the BuzzFeed videos, these little clips that they create on social media, and now they're also trying to get into the whole entertainment, making TV and television programs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's commendable for BuzzFeed in the sense that, you know, they usually make very clickbait, like, oh, it's like attract your attention and very high school humor kind of content. They're trying to move slowly to upscale market. You know, they're hiring new journalists, they're hiring directors. So for the newspaper publication, they'll have more.
Did you realize that they monitor and watch 120 million different sites? Time, AOL News, Life, everything. 120 million things. Right. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they hire a lot of people, I'm sure. And so they call themselves the social news and entertainment company.
And they see so how many people click on something, and then they take that piece of news that everybody clicked on.
That's right.
Wow. Well, anyway, then there's some more going on there. What's the next one that they have?
Well, the Culver Studios, which was opened in 1918, and a lot of these famous films were filmed there. Mm-hmm. Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind, and E.T., they were all filmed at the Culver Studios, and now they count Amazon and Netflix among its customers.
Instead of the big Hollywood productions, they're using these video stream kind of programs, right?
That's right. So these different companies that we've been talking about, Netflix, BuzzFeed, Amazon, they're all internet companies, internet-based companies, and this is now the new trend where entertainment is shifting to the internet.
Well, even Facebook said they're calling around for studio space, but then they finally settled on their new place. They call it a dig. What is a dig, really? It's just really a space.
Yeah. My new digs. This is kind of like my house, my home, my digs.
Yeah, it's informal for like my pad, my crib.
Right. But the upspring in production comes as Americans are going to double their daily digital video consumption. They're watching more and more compared with 4 years ago to an hour and 8 minutes, according to the eMarketer. That's one of the surveys. So we have to talk more about it tomorrow because our time is up for today. But we'll review that part a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what studios need to do to adapt. And it will affect us because we all like the video streaming, don't we?
That's right.
So let's be here again tomorrow, ready to talk to everybody. Will you all be here tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see you then. Have a good day, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.